Recorded live from the unfinished loft project of Des's home just outside Brighton in Sussex, welcome to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. This is your no thrills, no BS, and absolutely no get rich quick or passive income promises hub. Hosted by your man, Des Hamilton.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. It's really good to have you here. Look, we're rolling on. Last week, we hit some sort of milestone. It's just so weird to say this. We are number 86 in the world in the business category. We are beating the rich dad, poor dad guy. We are beating Kevin Bacon. I didn't know he had a business podcast, but it doesn't matter. We're beating him. Look, make no illusion. It's not a gimmick when we start this show with a comment saying this is coming live from Des's unfinished loft project. I'm in the house with an unfinished loft upstairs. It's as simple as that. I'm still in my kitchen. I've got this microphone. I borrowed it off a friend, the same friend who did our voiceover. She was my wife's maid of honour at our wedding, who also works in radio and has got a history of voiceover work. I've got these headphones on that I picked up from the business account after I made a bit of money. I want to really emphasise, this isn't a slick operation by any means. It's all in the production. And I'm really proud of how that's gone because I do it all myself. Look, I film this myself in my kitchen. I then edit the audio. I edit the video. I send it then to my video editor, Jazz, who's fantastic, by the way, and we'll get her on soon. She then makes it look much, much slicker and puts the finishing touches on it and then sends it back. And that is how this podcast is produced. And we purposefully wanted to make it slick to the untrained eye. But I also want to let you peek behind the curtain to see what's going on here, because I want to do this to show you that you don't need infrastructure to get going. You don't need bells and whistles just to get started. And you certainly don't need to throw money at things to say, look, I've got a podcast. And you must be sick of hearing me say this now, but I started with £200. I can't say it enough. Because there's literally nothing stopping any of you doing what I have done. There's nothing that I've done that is overly special. So if you want to do a podcast, go and start a podcast. It's no different to starting a TikTok channel. It's ridiculous how easy it is once you realize what it is that it is. It's amazing how cheap it can be. And it's amazing what can be done with an audience with a little bit of consistency and a lot of patience. That's all I've done. And I've used it to grow my network. I used the network that I had to bring guests in. And then what's happened is that as a result of the success of this podcast, the guests are getting bigger and bigger, and it's compounding. Much like we talk about Amazon selling, you'll see that there's patterns in Amazon selling that are resolute throughout the e-commerce industry. We touched on this last week when we talked about the diversification of products in your Amazon store. You don't just want to sell one thing, do you? I've sold nipple creams and dog food, for God's sake, not together. But if you're going to diversify your product range in your retail store, then you're also going to diversify your range when it comes to your income streams. These patterns are repeating throughout various industries in the e-commerce space. So what's happening with this podcast is that things are compounding, much like my profits in Amazon. My reputation is compounding, and the reputation of this podcast. And then when I approach people and say, look, we're in the top 100 in the world in the business category. Do you know how many opportunities that's going to bring forward? I'm not seeing them yet. It's only been a week, but I can tell you that there are big things happening in my personal business, my personal brand, as a result of this podcast, my TikTok, and the growing socials that I've got. I will share when I can, but I'm very careful about jumping the gun. But let's just say next year, it's not just going to be big for Amazon selling. The whole thing is going to explode. I am so sure of that. So let's talk about the guest. This week, we've got Luke Colwell coming in for a chat, and he'll be doing it over the next 2 weeks. Now, if you don't know Luke, Luke is the quit your 9-to-5 guy on TikTok, and the chances are, if you found me, you know who Luke is. He's got over 40,000 followers, and I might be doing him a disservice when I say that. He's got over 40,000 followers, and he's also host of a fantastic Discord that isn't letting in members anymore, but in there is a great community and jam-packed full of knowledge. Luke is one of the most generous and knowledgeable guys who is so forthcoming with his knowledge and so altruistic in the way he puts himself about wanting to help others do what he has done. He's one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet on this Amazon selling TikTok racket. People gravitate to Luke because he's got this magnetic personality and you can't get away from it. Now, let's cover how Luke and I actually met, because Luke probably doesn't realise how much he's actually shaped my challenge going forward. Because at the time of meeting Luke, I'd been on TikTok, I don't know, a couple of months. It was well before Christmas and I started, what, late September. And things were going well and I was getting traction and I had a few thousand followers at this point. And I'll tell you what, this is a year ago. A year ago, I was lucky, I suppose. I was still in the infancy of this TikTok Amazon selling thing before competition kicked in, as it invariably does in everything in the walking life. And I was spreading my message that there is no quick fix. There is no get rich quick scheme. There is no side hustle for the broken lazy. There is no 10K a month in 3 months. It's not a thing. It would take 2 years to get going, just like any business, whether it's e-commerce or bricks and mortar. This was the message I was sending out. And it won't surprise you to know that because I talk about it all the time. Luke reached out to me and said, look, I really relate with you. You seem different to other TikTokers. I want to help you in your challenge. And Luke and I had a chat and then I joined his Discord. I already knew that I liked this guy because I'd been following him and his posts were great. And the way he presented himself was someone that I thought, you know what, that's who I want to aspire to be. So as soon as he reached out to me, I jumped at the chance. And it goes back to what I was saying before about being naive in this thing. The network aspect of what we do, I just assumed people would come to me. And yes, Luke did, but it was arrogant of me. And now, because of the way Luke is, and because of the things that I admire about him so much, I now do what Luke does. I don't rest on my laurels and just sit back and think, well, maybe they'll come to me. I reach out to people. I go to them and say, hi, this is who I am. Let's have a chat. Because that's the power of networking. And it was Luke that opened my eyes to that. And what's really nice is that as Luke and I have grown together in TikTok over the last year or so, we've lent on each other for various bits of advice on various fields. And it's great. And he's still someone I look up to a lot. And he's still someone that helps me an awful lot. I knew Luke was going to be a guest on this show eventually, but I wanted to make sure that we were up and running. We were tried and tested. It was a slicker operation. And especially now we're fully visual, it's a perfect time to get him on here. Now, it just so happens that at this point, Luke is also launching his own podcast that I can't recommend enough. That's called Panic, and it's about mental health, especially in men. Now, you might not know this about Luke, but he suffers from panic attacks and anxiety. Now, Luke and I, we made this interview about 2 weeks ago, I suppose. And him using this platform in his interview, it was actually the first time that he'd opened up about his challenges because he knew his podcast was in concept and it was going to get launched within the next couple of weeks. So he knew it was this time to start sharing this side of him. So we're really, really proud that Luke chose this podcast to open up. And I can't imagine how difficult that must have been for him to prepare for something like that. But that's going to be this week and next week's episode. Predominantly this episode, though, is going to be hearing about Luke's journey as an actual Amazon seller, because Luke offers so much advice in his Discord, in his TikTok. We don't actually hear very often what Luke's actual story is. We don't know his journey from leaving college, leaving school, what his first job was, how he first found Amazon selling, what he did to take a punt on Amazon selling, how he scaled up from where he was to where he is. How did he cut his teeth? What was his first sale? How did he start growing? And what challenges did he find along the way, as well as including his mental health issues? Now, I just want to say, I can't respect the man more if I tried. The fact that he's gone through all of this, all of the challenges that being an Amazon seller present, especially as the competition's grown over the last year, and all of the challenges that a TikTok creator presents as well, because you're exposing yourself to the madness that's out there. Luke's done all of that and succeeded in all of it, despite those challenges. It makes you look at yourself and think, what's stopping me? What is my excuse? So with that in mind, let's get into the interview and I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy. Here we are with Luke. Luke, thank you so much for coming on, mate. How are you doing?
Pleasure, mate. Pleasure. Thanks for asking me to come on.
Anyone that follows me, they probably follow you, or they were following you and then they found me. And I think people kind of realise that you and I, we say the same message quite a lot. So this might be a lot of an interview where I'm just nodding along, agreeing with what you're saying. But I think what people are probably interested in when it comes to you, mate, is your actual journey, because you are fully fledged, experienced, successful, teaching people various methods on how to meet you up there. But how did you get there in the first place? Talk us through your journey.
Actually, it's quite interesting. You'd be quite interested in this because you like football. So I started off at 16. Well, 15, I'd done work experience at Portsmouth Football Club, because Portsmouth has always been, I know you're not supposed to have a second team, like United are my first team, but my second team are Pompey. My dad's used to play for their youth team and their reserves. My great-granddad used to support my granddad, so all my family used to support them. So my dad's friend had a little bit of an in with Pompey, and we used to go and watch him training. And then we bumped into the kit man, who's Welsh. So I started speaking to him, in Welsh. And I was like, I'm 15. I'm going to do work experience in 3 months. And he said, well, do it here. And I was like, all right, sound. Then I ended up getting a job from 16 to 19 and a half at Pompey. But that was my first experience at work. And then I went to work for my dad. My dad's got quite a big construction business. So I was doing shop fitting for him. I'd done it for about 6 or 7 years. Right. Then I decided, you know what, I can't be in my dad's, you know, I can't be just working for my dad for the rest of my life. That's not what I want to do. So then I started actively looking for a job. And then I went to work in Italy and Germany, where I was a car salesman for a US car corporation. We used to sell vehicles to the military, the US military, because the US military have got bases all over Europe. So we used to sell cars to them. I was there for 2 years, and then COVID happened. Come back. I was like, do you know what, Des? I was like, I'm sick and tired of making other people rich. And, you know, I used to earn good money when I was away, but, you know, they were making so much money. And I was like, I'm doing all this work. I'm not really, I am better in my life because I'm earning good money, but I'm not building a future here. Like, I'm never going to do this for the rest of my life. So I came home, I had a little look, see what it was about. I was going to start an outbuilding, so like cabins and things like that. I was going to start a new business with my dad. And I was like, again, I'm going to be in my dad's shadow. I'm going to, you know, people are going to be thinking, oh, yeah, he's doing it with his dad. And I wanted to do something on my own. So I come across Amazon, private label, which mostly people come across private label. So I come across private label and I was like, do you know what? I don't want to invest 5 or 10 grand into something straight away. Then I come across a course by a guy called Josh Garrod. I can't remember what it's called. It's a good course. I think it was about £1,000. Anyway, I done that and it was great. It was showing you how to do retail arbitrage. So that's right up my street. I'm a bit of a wheeler dealer, really. I like, you know, to buy and sell. I always have, like on Facebook Marketplace. So I was like, this is perfect. I started it, started selling all my used toys that was in my mother's loft. I had all Simpsons, vintage Simpsons stuff from 20 years ago, sold them on eBay. And then I made about a grand and a half. I put all of that as a test into Amazon. And I, let me get you something.
Good.
Hang on. Right. This is interesting. This is the product, my first ever Amazon product that I sold.
Look at that. I've got to say this because if anyone's just listening to this, yeah. It's a fortnight. What's that, a fortnight?
It's a fortnight stationery set. I was buying them for £4 in Home Bargains, and I was selling them for £14.99. I don't know why, but Amazon sent me two of these randomly. I haven't sold these for about 3 years. Really random. I don't know what's happened. Are they just giving me, you know, stuff for free and giving me a little bit of like, oh, look how it started, Luke.
A bit of nostalgia.
But I started selling them, so I bought like 10, 20 of them. They sold out in a day, and I was like, really? Then I just went full pelt. I got £5,000 for my savings and I was like, yeah, I'm going to just put everything into this. So I went out, I was going round. So I first started in Argos. I was buying Lego in Argos. There was about 5 or 6 different types of Lego. And I was going around all of South Wales, picking up as much as I could. So I think I ended up with like 30 or 40 different products of this Lego. So then that sold, and I was like, Jesus, what else can I sell? Started doing retail arbitrage then, going to Tesco's, scanning products using Vibot Pro, and that was it. That was the floodgates for me. I was like, I think I made, in the first 3 months, I made 85K, so I had to go VAT registered. Wow. I never, ever thought I could do this. I think the first month on Amazon, I think I'd done about £8,000 or £9,000. And then the second month, it was something like 25. And then it was December. And I think I'd done he was way over 30. So it was whatever. And then I remember January the 11th, I went back registered. So I must have made 85K from the middle of September to January. And obviously, it takes a couple of weeks. So I probably went VAT registered, should have gone VAT registered at the end of December. So it was about 3 months. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I've just built this up from 5K. And this is why I tell people, this is the perfect time to start selling. You could turn 5K into, I'm not saying everyone can do 85K, because a lot of people have got their own, you know, 9 to 5. I went into this 100%. This is all my focus. And it was during COVID time. So not many people out in the shops, and it was a lot easier.
Yeah.
But you can easily turn that 5K into 25, 30 grand in revenue and double your money, triple your money in this period. What would that do for you? You know, what would having an additional £1,000 a month do to you and your life? That's massive for a lot of people's lives. Like, that can pay their mortgage, that can pay their council tax, their electric. It might not pay their electric and gas at the fucking moment, but but it's helping you out, you know? This is why I say you need to start a side hustle. And that's what I've done. I started a side hustle, and then it's just evolved into this big business that I never, ever thought I would have. And it's given me a platform, like on social media, and it's given me so much. And more than anything, it's given me my life back. It's given me something that I can thrive to do and I can push and pursue every single day. It's made me obsessed again with making my life fulfilled. And I think a lot of the time when I was working for other people, I was, we'll get into this later on, obviously, but it's just like Groundhog Day every single day. Like with Amazon, I don't know what's happening the next day. Something could, you know, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I've got a calendar, but something might come up and interest me, and I'll do that. It's just a perfect business model for me. But it's not for everyone. Not everyone can do this. Not everyone's got the personality to do this. And it's just, but for me, it's the best business model to start as a beginner, and then maybe it evolves into something else. Maybe you've got more of an interest in doing social media or something, but this is a great gateway into side hustling and to business in general. I've just talked for about 15 minutes, and so I do apologize. I'm very
passionate. That's why I got you on here, mate. That's what, I can't be doing most of the talking. I talk enough on this show. It's good that someone else comes on and takes the burden. But I think this is important, mate, because this is you in a nutshell. You're so infectious. You're so passionate and you're so optimistic. It's impossible not to get swept in with you. It's impossible. When you can say, look at me, I took 5 grand and I was VAT registered 3 months later. How can anyone look at that and go, nope, I don't believe it? It's so genuine, Luke, because it's so obvious how hard you work as well. Yeah. This is the other thing. The freedom that you've got, it's earned. You've deserved this because of the graft you put in and the chances you took. You had that first sale, you had your Fortnite thing, then you went, right, that worked. I had some Lego thing, that worked. I'm throwing everything I've got at it.
Yeah.
You didn't just dip your toe in the water, mate, did you?
No, I jumped right in there, head first. Like, not everyone can risk that 5 grand. Like, and I'm not saying you need to start with that amount. You start with what you have and what you can. The way that I say it, starting anything, you know, I lost a lot of money in Optimus U, like a lot, 15, 20 grand. But I wanted
that was
to
your clothing line, right?
Yeah, that was my clothing. That was a passion project for me that didn't work out. But I put that money in because I could afford to lose it. But I say when you're starting things, even if it's with £500, go into it thinking, right, if I lose this, it's not the end of the world, but it's something that could progress into a massive business and take over my 9 to 5 and give me fulfillment.
Yeah, definitely. And you need to go into it knowing you're going to give it everything. You can't just pussyfoot around. Even if you're putting the money up, you've got to throw in. And it doesn't matter whether you start with the 200 quid I did or the 5 grand you did. You've got to throw it all in as long as you have your eyes open. So give us the headlines of where you're at now, mate. Here we are, what, 3 years later. What's your headlines?
One thing is probably a lot happier than I was, which is massive. But we're doing well. You know, I've probably focused a lot more on my USA business now because less competition. And we've got some, we're doing really well there, to be honest. Like the bundles that we have there, the brand deals that we have there, and some of the OA is good in the US as well. So yeah, I focus probably 80% of my capital and my time on the US. And then I just do my bundles in the UK. Now I want to progress that into a little bit more in the UK now, because I would like to put a little bit more into the UK, but the ROIs and profit margins for the US are so much more. It's hard for me to do that. But like, if you want like numbers, I don't really talk about numbers, like, but I think I started going heavy into the US probably March, April time. I sort of went, right, let's focus on this. And projecting by next March, we would have done seven figures in that account. And we should do, at the end of the day, this is a lot of money compared to the new seller, but I have got friends that are eight-figure sellers. And so this is like what they do in a week. But you should never, ever judge yourself on other people's success. No, so I'm so happy with where I am. Like, fingers crossed, we should have the best Q4 that we've ever had, and we will do. But we're just progressing nicely. I've got a team of like 10 VAs I share. We've got a really good team. And, you know, that for me is amazing. Like, I've got one VA who I'm going to shout out, who's been with me for nearly 3 years, Marla. She is an absolute diamond. Like, I don't know where I would be without her. And, you know, one of the nice things, and I'm not doing this to blow smoke up my own arse, I don't need to do that, but to see her progress in her life from the opportunities that I've been able to give her is the most satisfaction I've ever had from any of my business transactions. Making, I don't know, 40% ROI on a toy, that's got nothing compared to Marla's being able to buy her first car. Marla's been able to buy her first house. I've given her the deposit for a house, and she gets paid a lot more than other VAs get paid, is because I know the value in her. And do you know what? I take on half of her family now as well. I've got her fiance. I've got a cousin. I'm probably going to take on one of her friends as well. So I'm sort of, she said to me the other day, you're my family from the other side of the world. And do you know, little things like that for me mean a lot more than numbers on the screen, giving them the opportunity, because at the end of the day, I've been over there, you know, compared to over here, the pay is a lot less and the conditions they live in is a lot worse than us. So for me, giving these people opportunities is amazing. And that's why I always pay my VAs more than other people.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm having someone work 8 hours for me at the other side of the world and they're on the average wage.
Yeah.
I pay my more, and that's why I've had VAs for 3 years. And that's why people have VAs for 6 months and they leave, because there's no incentive there. You have to give them incentive, and you have to treat them like family as well. So that's where we are at as a business. Like, I want to go into, I think next year I'll be doing probably 100% bundles and private label in the States. And then in the UK it's 100% unique bundles. A little bit of wholesale, brand deals and wholesale stuff as well. Yeah. But I'm going to get out of OA. The thing with OA is it's a great startup for anyone. Retail arbitrage in OA. But unfortunately, you get some bell ends they're bell ends, you know. I am going to swear, Des, so sorry about that. just get people that haven't got a clue what they're doing, and they just tank listings for no reason.
Yep.
And for me, there's no security in there. And for the amount that I purchase, I want more security on my products, because sometimes I buy £2,000 worth of one product. Now, I have to have security if I'm putting that much in. I'm not just spending £100. So we're going to do the rest of Q4, and then we're going to get out of our way. We're going to transform our team into doing other things. And that's, we're going to use sort of December time to really focus on training the staff members up on what we're going to do next year. So we're progressing really good. Like, I think we're like 70% up from last year.
No.
So yeah, just really nice. I don't like really massive, dramatic. I want a consistent, even if it's 5-10% up. I want the graph to go like that all the way up in a year. That's the perfect graph. And then obviously it goes up a little bit more in Q4, but that's where we're at as a business.
Yeah, really nice, mate. I just want to go back to your sense of community, your sense of family, because it rings through you in everything you do, mate. You can tell. And I think this is why you and I get on so well as well. We're both grounded in the communities that we're in and the family values that we've got. And funny enough, I had the exact same conversation with Steve Brady last week. We did a sourcing masterclass, and his VA held a masterclass for us on how she does sourcing. And we were able to pay her more in one day than she got in a month, just for the pleasure of working on a Saturday with a bunch of strangers and presenting, which isn't her job.
No.
And that feeling you get, you can't, that's the best feeling I've had in the whole year of doing this.
Yeah. You have to connect with these people, you know, they're so fundamental and integral to your business. So why would you pay them what everyone else is paying them? This is why I bang my head against the wall sometimes. And I get it in my community, people moaning about the VAs are leaving. Pay them better. Give them better training.
Treat them well, you know, yeah.
Treat them like human beings and family members. Show them love, show them affection, not like that, but you know what I mean? Give them bonuses when they deserve bonuses. Give them incentives.
Yeah.
Then they won't leave. I haven't had one VA leave. Well, not one VA in 3 years. I've sacked one because she weren't performing, but I haven't had any leave. Because I'm a good boss and I look after my VAs. And that's what everyone should do. That's your due diligence and that's your duty of care to these people. And don't forget, they look at you like a god. You know, they look at you. You're their main source of income. Start treating them better and they won't leave.
Yeah, no, I agree. Same old thing, mate. It doesn't matter whether you're a business owner. It doesn't matter if you're just a person on the street. It doesn't matter. You treat people right and they'll look after you. And it's the same with every walk of life. But I've never run a business on my own and I've never had staff of my own. But that's common sense, right? Treat them well and watch them perform.
Yeah,
it's no different for me being a member of staff wherever I work.
Yeah.
I'm always going to work harder for someone that's good to me. Just it's common sense stuff. I love it. Right, let's get into the actual journey then, mate. So you are clearly flying. When did you know that you thought, right, I need to get a bit more advanced here? When did you think, I'm making all this money, let's invest in myself? Because you went down a route where you took on a mentor, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I went probably the first year without a mentor, really. And then I sort of was a little bit stagnant with ideas. I think at that time, OA and RA was a little bit... It was a little bit, it's probably the same as it is now. There's a lot of price tankers. So I think we were breaking even, losing money on some, and I started to panic and I was like, right, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to think about what I can do. And then I started speaking to an amazing woman who you know as well, Natalie Cromie, who's a very good friend of mine. And then she became my mentor. And then things evolved from there. Natalie, if anyone doesn't know her, Natalie is the mother of unique bundles, I would say, in the UK. She's just an amazing woman, and she really helped me mentally in business and how to scale my business even more. I think everyone should have a mentor, Des. I think, who are you to say, and I'm not saying go and get, you've got to get the right mentor. You've got to connect with them. You've got to have similarities with them, and they have to shine through, really. So you have to take your time and find the right mentor. But in this space, you have to invest in yourself. If you ever want to scale, it's a very lonely place if you haven't got a network.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got a mentor, you haven't got anyone to bounce ideas off. And trust me, you'll become stagnant and you'll become demotivated in a matter of time. So invest yourself into a mentor. And make sure that you surround yourself with people that are on the same journey as you and maybe doing just slightly better than you, so you can be motivated to increase your performance and get where they're at. And that's what I done. I become friends with Hayden, Natalie Cromie, like Christos. I think he's out of the space now. And people like that. I surrounded myself with people like that. I got into deal groups and lead groups, and not lead groups. I hate lead groups. Ugh.
Yeah. Do what?
Not a deal group. I do what I do now is I'm in a, it's like a deal group with me, Natalie, and Hayden, and we share a team. So we have VAs in it. We share deals. We share a purchasing manager.
Yeah.
That, for me, is the real power of Amazon. You can connect with people and you can have, so say we in the, it's not a deal group. What is it, Des? What would that be called? It is a deal group, I suppose.
It is, isn't it? It's just a team. Yeah. Because I'm in one. It's me. I'm one with Steve.
It's like a deal partnership sort of thing anyway, but
it's an exclusive thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So what we do is I put one VA in, so a sourcing VA. So that's mine. And then Hayden puts one in, Natalie puts one in. And then we share a purchasing manager. So what we pay, so I think it's like 30,000 PHP or something a month for each sourcing VA. And then we share the purchasing. I think we pay like 60,000 PH, 20K each. So you're getting four members of staff for that instead of having to pay, which would cost you, I don't know, 120, 140, 150. So you're saving yourself money and you're getting the same performance. And I know you're going to be sharing the deals with two other people, but the listings that we go on, it don't matter.
The
marketplace is so big in America. It doesn't matter if there's even another five sellers on, we still get consistent sales.
Well, this is it. And a competition isn't a bad thing as long as you don't all play by the rules on your pricing strategy. It's only when you get one knobhead that decides to tank everything and it ruins it for everyone. So it's all about the trust. But if you can get yourself an exclusive group, and this starts even people that are in my group at the beginner stage, if they decide to share a VA, that's the road that they should eventually look to find themselves in. A little group of 3 to 5 people, a little circle of trust. Everyone knows the rules. Everyone puts in the same amount and everyone succeeds. It's a lovely thing. One of the things that I like to talk about is Amazon seems to be the only business model I've found where everyone started from the ground up. No one was born into being a successful Amazon seller. Everyone has worked. So you can be sure that anyone that you're in a group with, you were at the same stage once, no matter what.
Yeah. That's a lovely 100%. Thing. Yeah, everyone started from, obviously people start with different budgets, but they had their first product, they had their first sale, and they had them same thoughts that you had that you can make a sustainable, profitable business from. It's an amazing, unique opportunity and with a low risk, in my opinion, because you can even start this with £200 like you done, and then you've got the opportunity to build a proper, sustainable business. And where else can you get that, And where else can you get the traffic that you can get? I started my own clothing brand. Do you know how much I had to pay for ads for one sale? It was ridiculous. It's like hundreds of pounds per sale. Oh. So I was losing because you have to do it for the traffic.
Yeah.
I can do a bundle on Amazon, a unique bundle, my own gift set, and I put like £5 a day or $5 a day on an automatic campaign, and I might get 4 or 5 sales. You know, that's so... just a no-brainer. Any brand that I start now. It'll all be on Amazon to start with, and then I'll progress on to get my own website. But fundamentally, I might even just start doing Amazon brands and then selling them.
Yeah.
There's a massive, because I've been doing a lot of research into it. If you have a brand that's doing 500K a year, you can sell that brand for 3 to 4 times this work, is a year revenue.
That's right.
So you can end up making 2 million. I know someone, that guy that does sold Beast Gear. I think he sold it for 6 million.
Yeah.
And he was only doing, I think it was 1 million a year. He got 6 That's million it. For it. It's just absolutely mental. And people still think that you can't make money on Amazon.
Yeah,
now, I do think it's harder now. I'll be honest. I think it's a lot harder than when I started.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're not lazy and you don't go for all the low dangling fruits all the time, and you think outside the box, you can make 6-7 figures, not saying easily, but it's more than achievable.
All right. That was the first part of the episode. Did any of that surprise you? Did any of that make you think, I didn't know that about Luke? Did it inspire you to see where he actually came from? And what he actually did with a little bit of money, but the leap of faith that he showed. So he had that tiny bit of success. He had that first sale that went quite well. And he went, bosh, thousands of pounds going into this because I know it works. I trust that it will work. And I'm shooting for the stars. And guess what happened? He got the freaking stars. And what I love about Luke is that he acknowledges that he still isn't at the place where he wants to go, but he is throwing everything he can at it. And then sharing his journey as well and documenting the things that he's good at and the things he's not so good at. He's the only person on TikTok that goes sourcing and tells you, I didn't find anything. Because that's what sourcing is 99% of the time. He's the only one that will show you how to do reverse sourcing and getting into the weeds on pages 2 and 3 on Google. And it's that mindset that Luke's got, despite all of the other challenges that he's got going on, that makes him succeed, because it's this unwavering will to know that his path is the correct one. And he's tried branching out into different businesses. Some have worked and some haven't, but it hasn't stopped him from continuing to try because he's experienced that life and he knows what he doesn't want. So he's following his dreams for a life that he does want. I love that. So with that in mind, let's get to the tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
Just get going. If this episode can show you nothing else, I started a podcast in a kitchen with secondhand kit and nothing but me learning about how to do it. And we have got a top 100 in the world podcast in the business category, Swimming with Sharks. Luke spent some time as a kit boy, spent his time on a building site and went, you know what? I'm not doing it. And he just got going and thought about it afterwards. I am 13 months into this thing and I am still a long, long way ago, but I'm 13 months in, still learning, still taking action, and look what's happening. So if you're listening to this and you haven't got started yet, what are you doing? Come on, let's have some tough love. Pull your finger out your ass, get into our Facebook group, reach out, start learning and get a deadline in place for the day that you go live in whatever it is. Doesn't have to be Amazon selling. We had a lady join our Facebook group last week. She's written 27 online courses on her Stan store and is turning over 20 grand a month. And she thanked me. And I'm nowhere near 20 grand a month, but somehow she's done it off the back of my advice. She took action. So come on, find something you're good at and just get going.
Tip of the week.
Okay, that'll do it for this week. Thank you so much for persevering. Okay, let's get the music. Let's get the voiceover lady. Let's do the usual things. Please give me a like, give me a follow, give me a subscribe. Tell your friends about this podcast because we are building and building and building. And wouldn't it be lovely to say, I knew that guy when he just got started off, because I'm not stopping. That'll do. I'm rambling. See you next week. Take care.
Be sure to join us next time for another dose of inspiration and insights into e-commerce and entrepreneurship. And who knows, by then, Des may well have finished that love project. And always remember, it's time to say goodbye poor, hello rich. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial advice. We know times are tough right now. And if you are struggling financially, please seek help from an appropriate organisation. We've included a link to the Citizens Advice Bureau in the show notes. Remember, you should always consult with a qualified professional before making any significant financial decisions.